Amen. All right, the image of God in you in Christ. How does God see you in Jesus Christ? When he sees you, do he see you as a sinner? Does he see you as a beggar? Does he see you as a slave or an outcast? Or does he see you in Christ? He sees you through the blood. He sees you through the cross. He sees you through the resurrection. Amen. Amen. He sees you raised up. He sees you sitting next to him in Jesus Christ in heaven. He sees you in seated in heavenly places in Christ. He doesn't see you as a victim, but a victor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So if any man be in Christ, it doesn't say any man or woman be in church. It says be in Christ. Because some people can be in church, but they're outside of Christ. You got to be in Christ. So hopefully over the last several weeks, you gained a bigger and better in Christ consciousness. An in Christ mentality. It's better for you to be in Christed than out of Christed. Praise the Lord. So you got to be in Christ. And we said that when you're not in Christ and outside of Christ, you are in crisis. Now we definitely need this revelation, right? Who you are in Christ. Galatians 2:20. Here's what Paul says by the Holy Spirit. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Everybody say, Christ lives in me. Everybody say, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, wait a minute. Paul's identifying with when Jesus died, he died there with him. And then he said, I don't live any longer. Because the old man is dead. Now the real you is what? Your newborn, recreated human spirit. Your spirit man is the real person, the real man or woman. So the spirit is, your spirit is the real you. You possess a soul and you live in a body. The body's not the real you. It just carries the real you. The body carries you, the real you. The Bible says in James that the body without the spirit is dead. You're correlating faith without works. He says, as the body is without the spirit is dead. But see, that's the key. Here we're talking and emphasizing you without your spirit, you're dead. Without your spirit, you can't breathe because you stop breathing because the real you is gone. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, you got to get never tired of saying these verses. These are powerhouse verses. For your in Christ thinking, for your in Christ theology. All right, here's another one. This one in an Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but it is from him, who? Jesus, that you have your life from God, that you have your life in who? Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom from God. Jesus is our wisdom, revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation previously hidden, manifesting itself as our righteousness. Everybody say wisdom. Righteousness, thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, everybody say consecration, or you can say it this way, our sanctification, making us pure and holy. Jesus is our sanctification, and our redemption, everybody say redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. So Jesus is my wisdom. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my sanctification. Jesus is my redemption. All four corners are covered. Praise the Lord. Everybody say it with me. Jesus is my wisdom, is my righteousness, is my sanctification, and is my redemption. Now, you break those four down. Just briefly, you know that wisdom means I don't have to be smart. Jesus has got the smarts. If nothing could stomp or cause Jesus to struggle, nothing can stomp or stop or cause me to struggle. Because Jesus is my wisdom. Some people try to be smart. They stay up all night. They Google. They think Google. Now, ChatGPT. Yeah, I have that. The AI platforms. They think that those are the smart ones. But no, the smartest one is Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you have human technology, but you have Holy Spirit technology through Jesus. Praise God. And he'll reveal to you advanced knowledge called spiritual knowledge or spiritual wisdom, which is higher knowledge. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's my righteousness. Everybody say, Jesus is my righteousness. Well, that means he makes me right with God. That means I don't have to be religious or legalistic to try to get right with God. To try to earn credit. I just take his righteousness as my righteousness. His position with the Father, which is next to him in heaven, I take that position because I'm in Christ. That's how God sees me. That's how God made me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification or consecration. That means he made me pure and holy. I don't have to try to be or want to be or say, I'm trying to stop this. I'm trying to stop smoking. I'm trying to stop drinking. I'm trying to stop lusting. You don't have to try to be. You see that even in normal situations, people trying to lose weight. In Christ, I can. In Christ, I will lose weight. Don't let the doctor shoot you up with all kinds of shots and pills. Nothing wrong with it, but remember, he said, you always take your medicine in faith. If you're not in faith, you're going to be in the flesh, or you're going to be in fear, and you're going to take it in fear, and it's going to impact you with all those side effects. You'll be dizzy, like you're going to pass out, like you're going to have a heart attack. Some of you are going to experience diarrhea, cramps, dehydration. You know, they list all that stuff on the TV, right? Come on now. You got to overcome it with your faith in Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is this okay? Everybody okay? So he makes me pure and holy. He keeps my mind from running off into wandering, worry, or wickedness. He is my sanctification. Everybody say, Jesus is my sanctification. That means he sets me apart to be pure and holy for my Father's service. I'm qualified for service because of his sanctification in me. Amen. And so back in the Old Testament, you know, the priest couldn't touch unclean things and qualify. They were disqualified for services. They touched unclean things. They couldn't fulfill their rotation. They got disqualified. Well, in Christ, we never get disqualified if we allow him to be our sanctification. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And our redemption. Our redemption. Redemption means we've been redeemed. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell them I am what? Redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalms 107:2. He's redeemed my life from destruction. Psalms 103. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. What are you saying about your redemption? Praise the Lord. So it's important that you don't forget who you are. Listen to what it's, when, by the grace of God, in Christ, we have a new image and a new identity. The Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is our passport into who we are and what we have in Christ. From God and from God only, we are to discern and discover our image and our identity in Christ. Our Heavenly Father reserves the right to tell us who we are because you're His child. You're His offspring. You're in the family of God. The real you belongs to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some people identify with their flesh and their mind to things that they have in common or a certain color or a certain culture or a certain family lineage. And you get so caught up in that that you lose your sight of your image and identity with Jesus. Amen. And some people get caught up in family traditions and family routines and so they're so tied to their natural family, but in Christ, you're no longer bound by your natural family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at a little YouTube clip. Can we play it? If you guys are ready. And we're going to look at a YouTube clip, and it's about 3 minutes. And it's an old Lion King movie, where Simba, the son, forgot who his father was. So we're talking about the image of God in you. So let's watch this clip for just a minute. Thank you, guys.
Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king.
Don't leave me. Father. Don't leave me.
What was that? The weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No. Not your stick. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Go on. Get out of here.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn the lights on. Praise the Lord. So sometimes, you know, what I always like to say is the very top one. There you go. And then take them all up. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you want to always remember, you know, who your father is. Because if you forget who your father is, you forget who you are. You see, God was all the behind, working the scenes, doing everything in his son, Jesus Christ, to make you just like him. Anybody remember that movie? Anybody remember watching it? We watched it quite a bit. Isn't that good? All right. So let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 through 12. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him and was made, and without him nothing was made that was made. Through Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man according to cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So how does God see us? How does God see us? You can put that slide up. How does God see us? He sees us, his children, when we receive Christ. He sees us as his children. And when we receive Jesus, we receive the Father God, and he receives us as his child. He gives us the right to become a child of God. Everybody say, a child of God. And so when we are born again, we become children of God. And as the Father God cannot be accused of being a child abuser, child abandonment, or child absenteeism, or an absentee father. Right? Romans 8:15-17 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba Father, or Daddy God, Daddy Father. Right? And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. So in Christ, God sees us as his very own children. In our very own, he's our very own father. We are adopted into God's family. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. So that's why I said some people get so family tradition and family oriented in the natural that they miss and they omit or neglect their spiritual inheritance. God's your father. And he's a good, good father. Amen. 1 John 3:1-3 says, behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. What kind of love is it that God would take us out of a demented class, lower class, and raise us up and call us into his class, the God class? We're children of God. I'm a child of God. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are a child of God. Sometimes when you go into prayer, you ought to be able to say, Lord, I'm your child. I am your child. He doesn't get mad at you for saying that. He doesn't get mad at you for that. But sometimes you need to relate to him as your child to a father. I'm your child. This is what's going on in my life. Amen. It is not your will for me to struggle with this, be burdened with this, or have to deal with this for a long period of time. Come on now. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. But behold, but he said, beloved, now we are. If we are, we am. Verse 2. We are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But when we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Be like who? Be like Jesus. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So God calls us his children. Our Father calls us his children. We are sons, not slaves. We are sons, that includes daughters too, and not just servants. Everybody say, I am a child of God, made in the image and in the likeness of God. Made it just a little lower than God, but I'm in his family. I am his child. Whew, glory to God. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You are of who? Of God, little children, that's us, and have overcome them. Who is them? Them is the demons, devil, evil spirits, and their evil cohorts. You've overcome them. That means the odds can be against you, but you're God. I'm a child of God. So whenever I face something, it's like my Father is facing it too, and nothing defeats him. Nothing ever defeated Jesus, and nothing will ever defeat you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, I am a God. I am a child of God. And I overcome them. What is that? Demons, devils, evil spirits? The demon core. Because he who in you is greater than he who is in the world. The greater one's in me. The greater one lives on the inside of me. That's the image you need to have. And let me give you a phrase. We said it before. We'll say it again. Every one of us need to improve and increase what? Our God inside mindedness. We need to be God inside minded. That means we got to see ourselves in him. We got to see ourselves in the word. Everywhere it says in Christ, in him, in whom. We got to see ourselves. This is who I am. This is where I am. This is what I have. And if you don't see that, then the devil will tempt you and pull you to see something else. He'll have you seeing who you're not. He'll have you seeing your sin. Have you seeing the struggle. He'll have you seeing the past failures. And that's all you'll see. And you'll identify with that. And that's not right or righteous. Is this too heavy? Y'all good? How do you see yourself? I'm old. I'm wrinkly. I'm hurting. I got scars. I got spots. I got wrinkles. I got gray hair. See yourself in him. See yourself raised up. See the greater one rising up big on the inside of you. We said it before. There's a couple we watched at a Rodney Howard Brown revival, and he had a couple. They both were 75 years old. And they had been around the world preaching. First of all, a whole year to 2024, they were never sick, or never hampered or hindered by physical pain or discomfort. Secondly, they both were well off, retired from their work and labor and business and better, and they expensed their own trips and travels. Secondly, they did full time in the gospel. They won thousands of people to the Lord in 1 year. I want to say 8,500, or may have been 10,000, but I can't remember. exactly the amount, but they won thousands of people to the Lord. And they were going to do more this year in their 76th year of life. But they saw themselves in Christ, not in crisis. They saw themselves in Him, who God made you. You know, you remember God had to tell Moses to die. At 120, the Bible says he was of age, but his eyes didn't grow dim. That means his eyesight didn't get cloudy or claustrophobic, cataracts and all that stuff. His eyes didn't grow dim, neither were his natural forces abated. At 120. And God had to tell him, your mission's over. You need to die. Your assignment's done. You finished. Come home. It's over. Okay. Wilderness didn't kill him. 40 years in the wilderness. Thank God the church didn't kill him. Some of them wanted to stone him, but the church didn't kill him. Right? Pharaoh didn't kill him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because there's a hiding place in God. And for us, it's called in Christ. Do you see yourself in that? Praise God. Now, I'm giving you clues, so some of y'all need to start working on that. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. There was a man and Brother Smith, he was called. He was a deacon in his church under Brother Hagin's ministry back then when he was pastoring. 85 years old. He had his regular hair. He has all his original teeth in his mouth. How'd you do it? He said, I asked the Lord to help me keep this. Because 1 Peter 3 says he will love life and length of days, will keep his tongue from speaking evil and his lips from speaking guile. So he would never say anything negative or nasty or bad about anybody. Because life and death are in the power of the what? The tongue. So he didn't say stuff bad. Or evil or wicked. He didn't get involved in gossip. When everybody knew it was a small town, everybody knew what was going on, everybody, they'd ask him, he would say nothing. He would not even participate in the conversation. And he said, I asked the Lord to keep this, and I asked the Lord to take care of my teeth, because everybody who had gotten to that age or close to that age, you know, they had all kind of teeth issues. Cavities, dentures, braces, well, I mean, not dentures, root canals, crowns, major dental work. Well, because some of it could be caused by, you know, the way you speak and the way you talk. And he didn't have to. He was fully retired, but he said he'd work full days and wake up early in the morning and still have the strength, strong as ox. His wife said that he's still like he's in the 40s. What you say? What are you saying? What are you seeing? Are you seeing yourself growing old, decrepit, disabled? Well, let's keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're born of God. And if you're born of God, there is no spiritual birth defects. There is no spiritual birth disabilities. We got to see correctly. We got to see better. Got to see ourselves in Christ. John, the author of the Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Little John we call him, and the book of Revelations. They tried to kill him. They tried to boil him in oil. History tells us. Scholars, Bible scholars, and historians, people way smarter than I am, they said they boiled him in oil because he saw himself in the beloved of God and the one God whom God loved. They couldn't boil him. They couldn't kill him, so they had to throw him on the Isle of Patmos. Do you sell yourself loved by God? And that he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? Because, you know, Jesus prayed that prayer in John chapter 17. Show them, Father, that you love them as much as you love me. And some people have so many mental issues or so many rejection problems or so many traumatic mental issues and stresses because they feel like God doesn't love me. They haven't been perfected by God's love. You got to see yourself that he loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Oh, Pastor, I've been so horrible in my past. I've done some things. I've said some things. I've committed some things that I'm very ashamed of. Well, you need to get perfected in love. Because he does not just forgive you, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all getting something out of this today? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, you guys are already there. Thank you, guys. They're there. All right. I invite you to read along with me if you have your Bible or device. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3-14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. And he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Everybody say, I'm accepted in the beloved. To him, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all Christians' blessings are in Christ. All of a Christian's blessings are in Christ. All of your blessings are in Christ. Now, not outside of Christ, but in Christ. This one sentence, now I read the one sentence, in the original Greek, verse 3 through verse 14 is one sentence. Everybody say one sentence. So one sentence. It's the longest verse in the New Testament. It's the longest verse and the longest sentence. Let me put it that way. The longest sentence in the Greek New Testament. So Paul was trying to get it out. Everything that we've been blessed with in Christ. It is the longest sentence in the Greek New Testament. It's almost like Paul, by the Holy Spirit, doesn't want to take a breath until he's communicated everything God has planned for his people from eternity past until eternity future. Everybody should take time to read this one long sentence. Now, we broke it down in verses in the translation of the Bible. We broke it down in verses. But there's lots of in Christ realities in these verses of Scripture. According to these verses, God sees us and sees to it that those in Christ have every spiritual blessing needed in the spirit, soul, and body. Every spiritual blessing you need for your spirit, your soul, and body are where? Come on, church. We're almost done. Where are they? In Christ. For the past, the present, and the future. For salvation and service. Because on one hand, you're saved. One hand, you're safe. One hand, you're healed. One hand, you're protected. But then you got to go out and do your job, too, as a Christian. So he empowers you with blessings so that you can do service. Because we're not saved to sit, we're saved to serve. And how do we serve? We say, yes, Lord, 24/7, 365, right? Without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. Every day, I'm Lord, what's my assignment? Lord, I'm yours to command. Somebody say, praise the Lord. For time, eternity, and both now and forever. So you're a child of God. You belong to God. You've been blessed by God. Hallelujah. So the spiritual blessings born again Christians, believers have in Christ encompass every need and aspect of their life. So think of a need now. Is it in Christ? You have it. In Christ, he supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. I got to give y'all time to breathe and burp. So let's break it down in these three sections and we'll close because I can't even get to my last section here. We are spiritually blessed and chosen by the Father. That's verses 3-6 in our translation. The Bible, New King James, I'm reading. We're spiritually blessed. Everybody say, I'm spiritually blessed and chosen by the Father. So God is love, and love does not wish to live alone. By definition, love requires relationship. So God chose himself a people to be his own special possession. 2 Peter 2:9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now the people of God. Everybody say, we are the people of God. We not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. So it says he predestined us, which means he marked out the boundaries beforehand. He marked out our boundaries beforehand. In this context, it simply means that God the Father chose his people for a purpose and determined that his purpose would be their adoption as sons and daughters. See, we were born in sin, but through Christ we are born again. And we're in the family of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he, in giving them or giving us, as sons and daughters, all the corresponding rights and privileges, including free and unlimited access to the Father. We don't have to pay penance. We don't have to pay a token. Come on now. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. And talk to your Father through Jesus. And he's assigned us the same status as Jesus Christ, because we're one in him. Now, once y'all see that, I wouldn't even be able to keep y'all still. Y'all be running around this hotel. And what's the challenge? You got to see it. You got to get in the word until you see it. I need to hear you hollering from your house, at my house. Woo! I see it. Pastor, I see it. And then I say, well, there goes that brother right there. I can hear Brother Roland right there at his house. He's saying, hallelujah, praise God, I see it. Because I'm saying it, but not everybody's seeing it. You see, God has that image he wants you to have. And once you get that revelation, once you get that image, he sees me through the blood. He sees me through the cross. He sees me raised up. He sees me sitting next to him. He sees that I see that he's blessed me. He's chosen me. He's adopted me. I'm legally adopted into the family of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not limited by my last name. I'm not limited by my skin color. I'm not limited by my gender. I'm unlimited in him and in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm chosen. Whew. Beloved is a reference to Christ. The born-again believer's relationship with the sinless Christ makes him or her accepted and acceptable before God. This will help your prayer life. You don't try to go in there like you're unworthy and some beggarly worm crawling on your feet asking God just for a minute. I gotta tell you about all the situations I'm going through. Just for a minute. My thinking's stressed out. I'm stressed out right now. I'm struggling right now. You've been accepted in the beloved. You've been acceptable because of the beloved. That's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, what may have happened to you or what you may have done may not have been acceptable, but in the beloved, you are acceptable and accepted. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. Secondly, we are redeemed by the Son. This is verse 7 through 12. Everybody say, I'm spiritually blessed and chosen by the Father. I am redeemed by the Son. This is how God sees you. This is how God sees you. God's image. The original force of the term redemption recalls the word form, the place in the ancient cities where the slaves were brought and sold. Born again believers and Christ followers have been redeemed from the bondage of sin and freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, look at these three scriptures here. I'm going to read them to you real quick. Revelation 1, 5 through 6, it says, and from Jesus, who the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. Who is it? Jesus Christ. To him, Jesus, who loved us. What drove him to the cross? His love for us. Who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, praise God, and hath made us kings and priests unto his God and the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation 5, 9, and 10 says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your own blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, and have made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm royalty in Jesus Christ. Woo. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. That means permanent deliverance, permanent healing, permanent blessing, permanent breakthrough, permanent. Woo! Hallelujah. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to close with this one. We'll just have to pick it up, maybe do part two next week or whatever. But we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, these three things are key, and the scriptures that all pertain to these are key for you to get in you. You got to get this in you. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 and 14. When something is sealed, it is marked out with the owner's name and secured as being his or own possession. God's the owner. God, our Father, makes us as believers his very own by sending his Holy Spirit. He didn't send an angel. Certainly didn't send a demon. He sent the Holy, his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. The Holy Spirit himself is our seal. That's why we read earlier in Romans, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Witness is a legal term. It's like a certified witness that you are son of God, daughter of God. And so you think bigger, you think better when you think, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Come on, y'all stand with me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing is that he sees us victorious, but we'll and more than a conquerors, but we'll cover that another time. Praise God. Father God, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to hear from heaven. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for your work in our lives today. We thank you for the word working mightily in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. We haven't even scratched the surface, Father, of all the good things and the blessings that you have for us. So I ask, dear Father God, that you indelibly stamp these truths on the hearts and minds of these, your precious people, those watching online and those in person, in Jesus' name, that we never be the same, that we become more and more God inside minded, that we have Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change and a transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Now, if you're here today, if you need prayer, if you need to come back to Jesus, if you need to receive Jesus, particularly those online, I want you to text that word pray, to that number, 210-941-3322. A lot of people are at home in fear, and they have misguided or what they call misconceptions or wrong perception about the Lord, that he's long distance, he's absentee, he's aloof, he doesn't care that we're struggling or staggering in problems and struggling with sin or the flesh or whatever. And they think, okay, that's the wrong image. The devil would love to keep pictures, photographs, and even videos of your defeat, of your losing, being a victim, falling into the world system like a slave. Okay, when I get to this age, I'm going to get sick and my body's going to break down. I'm going to be a slave to doctor's visits. I'm going to be a slave to just dealing with my pain. And I'm going to be a slave to dealing with issues in my family. I'm going to be a slave to dealing with trying to juggle my finances. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us bowled over with life circumstances and struggles all the time. All right, thank you. Thank you for the amens. Amen. Does it? Now, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of how many? Them all. That's how we got to see this. The Lord's delivering me out of this. Yeah, this thing came up, but the Lord's delivering me from it. When that mail, that letter comes in, you say, Jesus, you got mail. Thank you that you helped me deliver me from out of this bill. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. So if you need prayer online, text that word pray to that number, 210-941-3322. We'll pray with you. If you're here in person, we'll see those online on Wednesday. We'll see you Wednesday. God bless you. Bye-bye. If you're here in